Hey everybody, and welcome to the Caffeination 086 Holiday Season Ahoy! Yeah, we're trying out a couple little different sounds around here. I mean, you might hear one that you might have heard a little bit around, like that, but still. Nothing really crazy yet. We're trying to work on a whole bunch of new sounds. We might even be buying one of those CDs with all kinds of different loops and stuff in it. So hopefully it's going to make the podcast that much better. If you're noticing something about my voice, it's because I'm in the process of either losing it or getting it back at this point in time. I'm not really sure. So this hopefully isn't going to be a 49-minute ramble like the last one was, but hopefully it's going to work out pretty good. The Caffeination Podcast is proudly sponsored by GoToMeeting. Try it free for 45 days. Getting to and from meetings can be a real waste of time and money. Driving 2 hours for a one-hour meeting, flying to headquarters for a half-day training session. Save time and money by meeting online with GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, invite people to meet you online. During your call, they can see your computer screen. Meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days, no credit card required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com and type in the promo code podcast. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com and type in podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today, no credit card needed. All right, so like I said, we're trying to do things a little bit differently around here. Hopefully you're going to enjoy how we're doing everything. We're experimenting with a whole bunch of different stuff for, you know, the different podcasts and the different ways that this whole thing's laid out. And if you're wondering how exactly I lost my voice, no, I'm not sick or anything like that. Went to a hockey game on Friday, and I love hockey. It was a minor league hockey game. We got in through the graces of one of our friends who happened to receive free tickets, so it was a rather inexpensive night in that aspect, but I screamed myself hoarse trying to show up and scare all the children in front of me. I succeeded, and this is the result. I think I might be getting a little bit sick. Everybody else in the department where I work is getting sick, so I'm trying to hold off for the sake of the child, shall we say. But, you know, we have a great episode for you today. Now, I realized that we had held off for doing a lot of the holiday stuff around here, because personally, at least where I live in Philly, there's two stations right now that ever since Thanksgiving have been playing Christmas music nonstop. And frankly, it's ridiculous. It's just like an overabundance of the stuff. But on the same hand, I don't want to be left outside the seasonal mix. Now, I mean, our house is already decorated. It's been decorated since the day after Thanksgiving. We're in a very festive mood lately, so I was like, you know what? I am going to throw some Christmas music on here. It's not like I have Christmas stuff in the background, which we might later on. I'm just giving you a warning. But, you know, we have a whole bunch of stuff lined up for you today. We have some great tech tidbits. I actually have a story from the field that I hope you're going to enjoy. We have a little bit of general information. It's the same stuff we talk about usually. We have two good bits of PodSafe music from two of our favorite artists who happen to both release holiday songs, so hopefully you'll like that. And we have a bunch of caffeinated bits today, where we've been kind of lax in the past couple days, or past couple shows. You haven't really had a lot of good caffeinated stuff to talk about. So we're going to be going over a little bit of the older stuff that we used to talk about here at the Caffeination, the proper way of brewing a cup of coffee, like all the little stuff that you might forget. And this is stuff from like episodes 1 through 15 of the Caffeination that I talked about, but I had a really wooden delivery, so I mean, I'm not very pleased with the way that it came out. But that's going to be coming up. We're also going to talk a little bit about some of the studies that have come out with coffee and a whole bunch of other things. But first up, from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have one of our favorite artists, all-time favorite artists from the PodSafe Music Network. Basically, any artist that feels the need to contact me after I play one of their songs, I automatically give that artist a leg up for future shows. I think that they deserve it, because they put that extra effort in there. They're not just throwing stuff up there and you can do with it what you want. Now, it really touches me when it happens. So this guy is very humorous. His songs are always very funny, but this one isn't necessarily. This is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas from Little Thumb, so hopefully you'll enjoy this. Again, from the PodSafe Music Network, this is Little Thumb and Have Yourself a Merry Christmas.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas, let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas, make the Yuletide gay. Now on our troubles will be far away. Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. A shining star on the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
And have yourself a merry little Christmas from the PodSafe Music Network. Hope you enjoyed it. I just love that song. It's really nice. It's really calming, and it's delivered very well. So, Little Thumb, if you happen to be listening to this show to see how we talked about your music, good stuff. Keep it coming. So, you can really head on over there. And we're trying something new because I realized, you know, we were only linking up to the PodSafe Music Network where the artists have their show, and then we link to the artists' page on the PodSafe Music Network. Well, I realize that a lot of the artists we deal with have their own web pages. I mean, 90% of them do. So why not start linking to the artists' web page as well? I guess in the hopes that, you know, they might put a link up to our show and say, hey, look, this is where we were featured. So, I mean, it's kind of a shot in the dark, but at the same point in time, they're letting me use their music for pretty much nothing, and I think that's really cool that they're trying to get their work out there. And a lot of stuff we found is really good, so you know, they deserve the extra acknowledgement. So you can head on over to Little Thom's website. It's Little Thom's blog at .blogspot.com, or you can go to myspace.com and do Little Thom's songs. So it's a pretty cool thing. You can head on over there and check it out. Now getting right into the tech tidbits section here at the Caffeination, we have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. But first off, I have a little story. Now, every once in a while, a tech guy completely takes himself out of the realm of normal conversation, and like things start to mean different things. Like if everybody's listening to this podcast, if I say to you, "Have you seen the mouse?" you're pretty much going to assume that I'm talking about that thing, the thing that makes the little clicky sounds. All right, so I'm in work the other day, and one of the students who's working for me is there, and we're talking to one of the professors, and I said, well, and she said, well, have you seen the mouse? It was left on the cart. I said, I'm looking around. I said, I don't know. So I call over to the student and say, could you look in the drawer and see if we have a mouse in there? And she goes, oh, well, I really hope we don't have one in there. We had one over in the classroom the other day. I said, What do you mean? And it just wasn't clicking, and we were not, no pun intended there, believe me, but we were just not linking up on this. And and then this went on for a couple minutes. Then she says, "Oh no, yeah, we had a bunch of them in my apartment. There was like four or five of them." I was like, "Okay, but that doesn't help me. A student left their mouse on the cart, the projector cart, and we don't have it." She's like, "Oh no! I was talking about a family of mice." I was like, "No, not the squeak squeak kind, the click click kind." And she went, "Oh." It's just, every once in a while, you don't think that there's other meanings. Like, mouse originally had nothing to do with the computer utensil, because there is no peripheral input device, whatever it may be. But there was no use for that in that sense. So every just once in a while, it just hits me, and I think it's funny. So hopefully you'll find that interesting, but still. We're looking around the internet to hopefully find you the best in gadgets and let you know some problems that might be coming down the pike. Now, I've long lusted after some of these really crazy laptops that are out there. And unfortunately, I missed the boat, and I say it seems to be like a lot of the prototype laptops that are out there, I don't necessarily see that they say prototype all the time. So this one is a prototype laptop. So just saying that right off the bat. Now, what this is called, it's LG debuts the ebook. Now, this has nothing to do with normal ebooks that everybody else knows about, you know, like the little electronic pieces of paper, or electronic digitizations of books that you have to actually flip pages on. No, no, no. This is. I guess they didn't realize that it was the same name, but it's a completely different idea in laptop design. First of all, it's liquid fueled. Yeah, that's just awesome. It's running on something that's let's see. It's bubbly blue methyl alcohol fuel. So if you look at the picture that we have linked up over at caffeination.com, you can see there's this like cool bubbly looking liquid in the middle. I don't know how it works. I don't know how safe it would be. But hey, there's no battery on it, so that's just pretty cool. Second of all, it does not have an LCD. LCDs, laptop technology and design, really has not changed that much since like the 1980s. So my PowerBook from 1996 is a brick of a machine, but it has the exact same basic design. I mean, the ports might be moved around the sides, but it has the exact same design as the Power Mac that I have, or PowerBook rather, that I have, that was designed in 2003. I mean, these things were like, you know, years apart, you know, 7 years apart, but the exact same design, just a little bit thinner. The only thing that really changed was they used metal instead of plastic on the outside of it. That's it. So what they do, they're using something called digital paper, I believe it is. Instead of like an LCD, which, you know, needs the bezel and everything else around it, they're using this stuff called I don't know where I'm talking, but it's like it's called like liquid paper. So basically, you can look at it from any angle. There is no viewing angle problem like they have with the LCDs, and it just looks really svelte. It looks really you know pristinely designed, and it has a strange little carrying handle in it. I don't see any ports for plugging it into other things, so maybe that's somewhere else there. But then again, this is just a how do you say? Like I said, it's been one of those weird weekends. Everything's kind of running into each other, but this is really cool. That you just really need to go over there and check it out. Basically, it's an OLED screen, so it's kind of like the screen that you see in your cell phone, rather than what you would see in a laptop. So that's not liquid paper. Liquid paper was something else completely. So ignore the first half of that. If I was really, really tempted to do this, I'd probably redo the entire first half of this episode, because it's been 12 minutes and I'm just babbling at this point. But still, hopefully you're still with us. If you are a new listener to the Caffeination, we're usually a little bit more succinct than this. If you're an old listener and you see how this works, then you know that that's not always the case. But you can always find this. If you're listening to it on the stream at the Tech Podcast Network, you can always find this show at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. Now, the next thing we have up here is another laptop issue. Now, a lot of the students that are in school right now are like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to buy a MacBook because I'll be able to run Windows. Well, there's a problem with buying a MacBook in the profession that they work in, because they need design applications. And design applications, as it sits right now, are not supported to run on Parallels or on Bootcamp, because they're on non-standard hardware. So that's one thing. That's one problem there. But the MacBooks, rather, have had a lot of problems recently. I mean, the first thing that came down was the random shutdown thing, and they fixed that. Apparently, there was too much heat paste in there. And then these things, you can, like, fry an egg on the back of them. Then, at the same time, there was a strange, what they called the whirring moo. There was, like, a bad fan bearing, which they fixed that. Then there's the discoloration issue, where all of the white MacBooks started to get yellowy and scratchy. Then there's the scratching, and then there's the plastic cracking crisis, where apparently the hinges and everything around the sides of them are like cracking unexpectedly. So nobody knows what exactly is going on there. Now, there's a new issue with MacBooks that are coming out, and like we try and tell you as much as we hear about defects with laptops and everything else. We really did talk a lot about the PC side of the battery recall issue, but I mean, this just seems to be a really weird. I mean, everybody talks a little bit about the first generation of technology. When things come out, it's always you might want to wait until next year. So laptops are sort of starting to turn into the cars, you know, where you don't necessarily want the first model year of a car that's produced. You kind of want to wait until they work the bugs out a little bit. So if I were to buy a MacBook, I'd probably wait a year or so, because this is, I don't know, they just seem to be developing really crazy problems, and I'm not sure why. Nobody really is, but still. The latest in the series of problems is a screen flickering problem. Apparently, when you open up the laptop, all of a sudden the connection between the screen and the laptop itself starts flickering on and off randomly, and no amount of cajoling will actually get the screen to light up. You close it, you open it back up, and it's fine. It happens intermittently, and they've taken it apart, and it doesn't seem to be the connection. It seems to be something else. So I'll let you know if they actually seem to find something, but there's a couple little websites if you have a Mac and you're interested in some of the problems that may be going around. One's appledefects.com, and then there's a couple other linked on O'Grady's Power page, and of course the Apple forums are an interesting place to go. But I usually stay away from a company's forums when I'm having issues with their product at this scale, because you could always moderate a post out. Now, I don't know of any situation where Apple or anybody else has actually done this, but still, I would think to get truer information on the scope of the problem, you might want to go elsewhere. But that's just me. Moving right along here in the Tech Tidbits section, apparently the Air Force has a new transmitter that they're working on, which is basically has a specific frequency to try and fix a lot of the problems with Homeland Security. So it's supposed to be a frequency that's used by all first responders, so everybody who's on the scene right off the bat. Now, apparently it's also the same frequency that approximately 50 million garage door openers and hundreds of residents have found that theirs don't work anymore, because the government is sending a constant signal out at this frequency during tests and other things, and they want to make sure that this frequency, which was assigned to them by the FCC, works. So they're trying to have paramedics and everybody else talk back and forth, and meanwhile Johnny No One in the middle of suburbia is trying to open up the door to put his new Prius in, and it's just not working. So I just thought it was kind of funny. Apparently there's been problems rampantly in Florida, Maryland, and here in Pennsylvania. Now, I hadn't heard about it, but still, it's kind of interesting. So if you notice that your garage door isn't open or doesn't open as the same way it should have usually, and there's nothing else that you could find wrong, you might want to check out to see if you're one of the people who's affected by this. It just seems to be a strange coincidence, but nothing anybody can really do about it. Now, another thing we have here, this is kind of an extension of a previous story, but apparently Steve Scherf, the person who founded Grace Notes, which is a lyric service, and it's similar to the database where when you plug a CD into your computer, it talks to a database on the internet, sends you back the information about it. Well, Grace Note, what he's doing with the guy who did started Grace Note, is actually going onto Wikipedia and deleting any evidence of any problems that people have had. He's basically trying to change the way that people view the history of his product, and he's having other people do it. He's going on and deleting sections out of history. I mean, it's just crazy. But yeah, and just wanted to put that up there. Thought it was crazy. It reminded me a lot of when we talked a little bit about Stephen Colbert, and when he kind of attacked Wikipedia, and he said that basically anybody can believe anything as long as they see it on Wikipedia. And all you needed to do was convince that the largest number of people that it was correct, and then it was. So he actually sent a lot of his viewers over to Wikipedia to edit the webpage that said there have been double the amount of African elephants in the world every year since 1996. Like, the population is increasing, when in fact it's not. So because of his stunt, Wikipedia actually locked him out. It was pretty humorous to see, and it kind of exposed a lot of the problems that Wikipedia had. But it's just kind of interesting. Thought I'd throw it in there kind of as an aside. Now, I'm a big fish person. I actually have a giant fish tank in work, and we're getting one here in the Caffeination headquarters, so I'll be putting pictures up of that as soon as we get it in there. Now, I'm also a big plant person. I like, having live things laying around. I like having good foliage for the office. Helps clean the air out. It's always nice to have something to help process oxygen in the room besides yourself, so there was a story up on Gizmodo I just felt compelled to link to, and I'm just going to throw it out there, and then we're going to be done and move on. If you know somebody in your life who is a avid plant and fish person, rather than getting them the stereotypical beta, Chinese or Japanese fighting fish in the jar that lives under the plant. What they're suggesting you do is you buy this little structure. It's designed by some firm in Paris, and it's just they're called Studio 5.5 Designers, and it's awesome. It's an aquarium and a planted pot at the same time, but the two sections do not mix. It's just one oblong, crazy designed, interesting little pattern. And I thought that was cool, so I just decided to throw that out there. I also haven't seen how much it would retail for and whether or not they're actually going to sell it. So it might just be something that's off the side, but still. Now, the next thing that we have here is also from Gizmodo. It's called the Lightkeeper Pro. Now, this Christmas, they said, get lit. Now, this is what I think. I think this is probably one of the brightest inventions to come out of anybody for a long time. It's just, it fills a need. What this does, this crazy little sensor and a gun-looking thing. Everybody has Christmas lights, and all of a sudden the strand doesn't work, and you're not really sure why. Or a section of the strand goes out, and you're not really sure why. This is a tester, so you can run it down the wire when they're plugged in, and it tells you where the fault occurs. And then when it finds a bad bulb, it has a little device inside that somehow fuses the two ends of the bad bulb together so that it completes the circuit and moves on. So it fixes your strands of lights. Now, I know they're only like $1.50 or $3 or something like that, but some of them are more expensive, and still it's kind of ridiculous to have to go out every couple years and buy an entire new strand of lights because one bulb died. It always kind of irritated me. So for around $25, this thing is awesome. I really, really want to try and convince the wife to get it. I just saw it today. I have to throw it out there and see if she finds it interesting. Hey, it'll save us money in the long run. That, and it looks really cool. It has a sensor and some kind of little arc welder inside it. So I think that's interesting enough. let's see what else we got. Oh, yeah, apparently gamer fashion has gone chic. There's three little stories all linked up here, and just decided that I was going to throw it out there. We have the first thing from over at joystick.com, an interesting little website in and of itself. But they talk all about gamer fashion and how some things are coming out that are kind of stupid. But the first thing that I saw which caught my eye was Saks Fifth Avenue. We have a link directly to one of their product pages. Has a Dolce & Gabbana Super Mario Brothers t-shirt. Yeah, it's $175 for a t-shirt with a video game character on it. That's absolutely ridiculous. Then you move on to something that I don't know how much these things cost. I don't want to think that much about them. But people are using game controllers as belt buckles. So they have the original gigantic Xbox controller as a belt buckle. This thing was probably the size of two of your fists, like your two of your palms next to each other. So if you put them next to each other, that's around the size of this thing. Then they also have the original Atari controller, or the Commodore one, I think. No, actually, it is the Atari. So it's the joystick pointing directly out as something else. And then finally, of course, they have the an enlarged version of the NES Advantage. So it was kind of like a mix between the Atari and the original NES controllers. So if you had the NES controllers, had the little directional pad and then A, B, start and select. The NES Advantage was a supersized version of this controller, but instead of the directional pad, it had like a joystick sticking up. Yeah, they have a picture there, some guy with one of them as a belt buckle. I just thought it looked unbelievable. Yeah, apparently the NES Advantage buckle's $50. Anybody who actually does this needs to be shot. That's it. It just looks so stupid. I don't know what to do about that. I actually think that the NES controller, the normal flat one, looks kind of cool as a belt buckle, but that's because it's small. It doesn't have any other it doesn't have any protruding parts or anything like that. So I thought I'd put it out there because it was floating around the internet. Thought people might find it interesting. So then we're going to move right along. Now, if you remember a couple episodes ago, we talked about the largest machine on the planet, the largest mobile machine on the planet. It's the Bagger 288. It's a huge, massive machine that moves at approximately 75 feet per hour. If I was correct, I actually found out how much it was. If you go back a couple episodes, I'll find out exactly when it was. But it was like, it's a massive thing. It looks directly out of a horror or a science fiction thing. And they really need to, like, there was a whole bunch of Photoshop things. One guy actually cut different parts and turned it into a transformer. It looked awesome. And they actually had pictures of this thing. It was in the German countryside. So they had a picture of, like, somebody riding their bike through a wheat field. Something that you would see from you know, like an artistic photo gallery. And then off in the distance, in the middle of a field, they had this gigantic machine. Now, what I said was that was the second largest machine on the planet. And that took 10 years to build. It was $10 billion, and it ran for 25 years without stop. And, oh, by the way, did I say that it didn't run on fossil fuel? It actually ran on electricity. So there was a 3-foot thick cord, like almost a 1 meter thick electrical cord running out the back of this thing that had to be drugged with it. So just insane. Well, now what would be the biggest machine on the planet? Well, it would be the Large Hadron Collider. This machine, which is going online somewhere in November 2007, it is going to be the biggest particle accelerator on the planet. Now they have this huge featured story with it, over at Wired, and you really need to go on over there, especially if you're a physics geek and you think it's kind of interesting. What they're going to be doing is making mini collisions inside this thing, hoping to create like black holes and other things, you know, trying to recreate the Big Bang, basically, under the Swiss Alps. What they said is the tunnel that it is 150 miles long, I think. Yeah, 150 miles long and 82 feet high. So that's just insane. So it's this large donut directly under the Swiss Alps. It's somewhere around 13 or 14 miles down. And from what I remember, I actually get Wired at home. So, but one of the things that I remember that was just crazy about it was when you go into this tiny little building in the middle of like a cornfield, there's an elevator there. One of them's Sky. Sky is the area in the Swiss Alps. And then one of them says Hell. So you go down to Hell, and that's where you are. You're inside this huge machine. You're inside this giant physics laboratory. So it's really cool. Head on over there and check it out, especially if you're interested in crazy technology. So I didn't want to go all into it, just thought it might be interesting to talk about. Now some rather inconsequential technology, but I think it's really cool looking. They have BenQ DogTag MP3 players. It's basically all steel, looks like a mini steel iPod, has Music Q written on the back of it, and basically you can use it the same way you have a dog tag hanging around your neck. Looks a little bit tooly, I don't really know, but yeah, just looks kind of crazy. I think that you can actually have your name inscribed on it and everything, but still, yeah, you apparently you have to go on over there and check it out, but yeah, I don't know. So it just looked kind of silly, so I thought I'd throw it up there, see if you found it interesting. And then another thing that we saw out there, but apparently underwater trees are a real big problem around the planet. So what do? You create a robot which is capable of cutting down these trees underwater, because you can't really send a lumberjack down there. It's a pain in the butt. So they have something called the Sawfish. It's a giant robot that has a tether to it. It swims down through the water and chops the trees down. Apparently it's very cool, and it's actually running on environmentally viable fuel. So it's running on vegetable-based hydraulic fuel, or vegetable-based oil and hydraulic fuel. So it's pretty cool. Just kind of crazy. I don't know. You really have to see the pictures. It's over at blog.sci-fi.com. So it's just odd. I'm not sure that there was a large enough need for one of these things to actually do that, but still, that just about wraps up the tech tidbit section today. We're going to hopefully have a little bit better of a show, you know, a little bit more coherently spoken, shall we say. On Wednesday. We have a little bit of general information we're going to get to right now, send you on with another little PodSafe musical goodness bit, and then we're going to have our caffeinated bits and send you on your way. So we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. If you're listening to the show over the stream at the Tech Podcast Network, then you can find it at www.caffinaton.com. We have a whole bunch of crazy new sections over here, so especially the recipe section, and there's going to be daily blog posts, or almost daily blog postings about different things that we find interesting online. So you can head on over there a couple times a week or subscribe to our RSS feed. Always an interesting way to get the latest in caffeination. We're also proudly listed over at Blueberry. That's Blubry. There's a link on our show notes to go directly to our page to see all the stuff that we listen to. Hopefully you'll find that interesting. My personal blog is always an interesting place to go. That's over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. Basically, you're going to find stuff that's not always tech-related. It's usually kind of like a stream of consciousness. This is what's happening at any one point in time. I try and find some of the more interesting products or anything else that's out there. And it's not always related to technology. It's a little bit more of a personal nature. And sometimes I throw whatever rant that's rolling around in my head, I throw it up over there. So it's always, at least I think it's an interesting read. So hopefully you can head on over there. We're also well into the season of giving here at the Caffeination. We have the Child's Play charity, which we've already made our donation for here. So I would hope that people head on over there. They just updated the little bar at the bottom. So apparently the charity's only been up and running for about a couple weeks. As they say, they collect no administration fees or other charges. 100% of all gifts and donations go directly to our partner hospitals to help make life a little brighter for a sick child. That's from their website. They have hospitals all over the continental United States, one in Hawaii. I don't think they have anything in Alaska. They have three or four hospitals in Canada, two in Australia, one in Great Britain, and one in another country that I can't identify the flag. So it's just kind of cool. So hopefully you're going to find that interesting. I think that might actually be Egypt now that I look at it. It's kind of crazy, but still. They started out at $50,000, and apparently today, as of today, they're up over $250,000 already collected, and I think they've only been online for a couple weeks. So it's so far it's going to be a banner year. Apparently they've already taken in more money than they had in the entirety of 2003, and in 2004 they had this much, but not quite as quickly. And 2005 they're right on pace to actually pass what they did in 2005. So it's a great thing that they're doing over there. Hopefully you can head on over there and check it out. And then the other thing is Operation 2 Million Cups over at BocaJava.com. They're actually collecting coffee for the troops that are going to be stationed away during the holidays. So hopefully you're going to head on over there and look that up. Right now they're sitting at 1,530,288 cups. For every 4 ounces of coffee you buy, they match directly the exact same amount, and then they send both packages over there. So it's kind of cool. What else? I think that's about it for our general information today. We're going to send you another great PodSafe musical selection from a wonderful band that we've had some dealings with in the past. That's Three Blind Mice. One of the gentlemen from Three Blind Mice is also the host of the Ask Lyndon podcast, so you can head on over there and check that out. But here's, again, Three Blind Mice with their Christmas original. It's called Watchstar. Hopefully you really like it. I think it's an interesting tune. But then again, I haven't heard a bad song from Three Blind Mice yet. So again, here's Three Blind Mice with Watchstar. Blind Mice and their song Watch Star from the PodSafe Music Network. We also have a link up directly to their website. We were going to link directly off the website. They had linked to the PodSafe Music Network, but I think on the PodSafe Music Network it says Castaway, and their website for Three Blind Mice is actually Cats Away. So hopefully you can head on over there and check it out. They have all great stuff. You can see pictures and everything else, so it's an interesting little place to hang out. Hope you find that interesting. Again, never heard a bad song from them, and that one's just, you know, keeps up the trend that they had going, so hopefully they like what they hear on this podcast too. So hopefully you head on over there and check out some of their stuff. Yeah, can I say hopefully a couple more times? But alright, we have some interesting little caffeinated bits for you right about now. We have our recipe section up and going hard. We have the original coffee float. We have the black gold, which is the absolute pit of stomach lining mayhem. And then we have the beginnings of our discussion on spices, sweeteners, and everything else. So we talk a little bit about the flavor profiles from some of the more popular spices. So we're going to actually be showcasing one on every show from here on out for a little while. And then we're starting this Wednesday with cinnamon and what you can do with cinnamon, how you can brew it. And we also talk a little bit about there on the page how you go about brewing things with spices in them, at least how we've found the proper way of doing it. And you can always add spices after the fact and everything else, but still, I mean, we have a way that we found to get the best flavor that we can find out of it. I mean, I'm not some coffee expert, I just happen to drink a lot of it. And this is just the way that I like to enjoy it. So I share my ways with you, and if you find out that I'm not doing it correctly, or if anything else seems to be different, I'd be more than happy to change that out. So, that being said, we head on over there, and there's a giant story over at the Herald News Online called Is Coffee Addictive? Well, I don't know. Is coffee addicted? This podcast is based on and powered by the fact that coffee is addicted, and coffee, specifically caffeine, is addictive. But they have this long thing over there, and they said the average amount of coffee that most people in the United States drink is around 3 cups a day. And then they talk all about the health benefits, and then they talk all about the dangers that coffee can pose, and it was just kind of an interesting read, so I thought I'd throw that out there. And what they said basically is that coffee, yes, is addictive because there's withdrawal symptoms. You find that, you know, if you take a certain amount of the drug, that you need more as it goes on. And I have like a cycle. What I do is I usually start out with like 1 or 2 cups, and then I'll slowly build up to almost a pot of the stuff, and then I'll start breaking myself back down and, you know, lowering it out. So there's kind of like a definite cycle throughout the year, and usually about a 1 or 2 month cycle. And what they're talking about, there are actual withdrawal symptoms. People notice that, you know, there's a, let's see, what did they report? They reported headaches. I've had the caffeine headaches, fatigue, difficulty in concentrating, decreased motivation, flu-like symptoms, and depression. You know what? I'd be pretty depressed too if somebody tried to switch me over to decaf or took everything else out. They said one subject who drank the equivalent of about 10 cups of coffee a day reported making multiple costly mistakes at work after quitting. You know what? A lot of it sounds like you're just making excuses, but on the other hand, I have gone without coffee on a day or two, and I'm completely worthless. So every once in a while, one of my bosses will schedule a meeting really early in the morning. I was like, you know what? I have to make sure that I have a decent amount of coffee in me before I even walk in there, because I am absolutely worthless without it. So I just thought you might find that an interesting read. One of the doctors said there, he says, Sometimes I see patients who drink 18 to 20 cups of coffee a day. They just keep making pots of coffee and drinking them one after another. That's awesome. And what they said is also, like this doctor said, that he's also seen that coffee only lasts, like the stimulant effect only lasts for 30 minutes. I think he's not really looking hard enough, because I know that if I drink a cup of coffee in the morning, the stimulant effect, the buzz that I get, actually lasts for about 3 to 4 hours. Now, if you add artificial sweeteners in there, like sugar or something else like that, sugar specifically gives you that sugar high, you're going to come down a little bit earlier, because as soon as the sugar buzz drops off, you start to have like an increased drop in activity and everything else. You kind of have that crash at the end. So if you've ever had like 15, 20 pixie sticks right in a row, then all of a sudden you come off the buzz, you kind of just crash and fall asleep. So it's that in a slightly smaller effect. It's kind of like the small death, shall we say. So enough of that. I thought it was kind of fun. So, and now we have our latest coffee gadget that I found. Now, I think this is a really cool idea. I kind of want one. Now, what they did is they say wisdom wands, coffee and tea brewing wands. So what you're supposed to do apparently is what you do is you brew a you take your normal coffee, you pour it in there, and then you use these wands to stir them. But that's not all they do. There's actually a straw that comes out of there, and it somehow changes the temperature of the coffee as it goes up. Like, it cools it down sufficiently so that you can actually drink the coffee through a straw. Thought it was interesting. Thought it would throw it up there. I think it's kind of cool, but still, I'm not sure if these things brew the coffee, they stir the coffee, or they're, you know, just kind of purely decorative. So I thought I'd throw it out there, see what people thought about that. That just pretty much wraps it up here at the Caffeination. It's been kind of a crazy show. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. I've had a lot of people tell me that, you know, your show has this very relaxed delivery. Well, trust me, there's a whole lot of stuff going on upstairs. I actually have and I don't just mean that my wife's watching Desperate Housewives or whatever else is on right now. You know, I guess I have kind of the relaxed delivery because I just want people to listen to it. I want people to be able to hear it in the background and hopefully enjoy. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to drop me a line. There's actually a button on the Caffeination homepage that says email me. Guess what that one does. Again, if you're listening to this podcast on the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, you can find it at www.caffeination.com. Our MySpace account is over at myspace.com/caffeination. And you can email me at caffeination@gmail.com. Our personal blog is over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. Thanks for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.